Welcome to the Fat AZ Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. We got Vance in the front of the Ranger. We got Todd on speakerphone. Podcast brought to you by Fat AZ Muskie Products. Like us, Fat AZ Muskie Products on Facebook, fatazmuskie.com. We're running a special. It's not going to be going on too much longer, but free shipping on combination of rod holders and track. And we also 10% off baits till the end of October. Both of those are running till the end of October. Get in touch with me. You can get in touch from my website, fatazmuskieproducts.com. Nope, fatazmuskie.com, my mistake. Or on our Facebook page. Also, we're brought to you by Muddy Creek Fishing Guides. That's Todd Young, mcfishingguides.com, Muddy Creek Fishing Guides on Facebook. Check it out. He's been putting up some big fatties lately. Going to have a pretty decent fishing report this week. So,
yeah, also make sure we throw in there, check out the Todd Young on Facebook. There's just, it's just easier to get people to like that and share that part of it. I don't get a lot of people going to the Muddy Creek Guides page. They usually just go to the Todd Young page. And yeah.
Yeah, so go do that. Todd Young, friend him. Check him out. We'll dive right in this. Last week, well, a couple things last week. At the end of the podcast, I kind of alluded that we were going to do Canadian trip fishing stories. Well, that kind of got changed. We're going to bump it to the next podcast, mainly because Todd and Vance will be heading to Lake Nipissing. And why would we do a Canadian fishing trip story right before Canadian fishing trip? So we're going to push that back one. We have some fishing stories that we can talk about this week. And also last week I alluded that Vance and I went fishing last Tuesday. We didn't really get into the story all too much. We were kind of worked out nice to save it for this. So I guess Andy's fishing report to start off.
There you go. You go first, Andy.
I'm going to go first. And
you then, bigger this time.
We're going to save the best for last. It's going to be much, much better than...
Well, we don't get that many Andy's fishing reports. We got to go with them when we get them.
Okay, well, we'll go with them because I did a couple bank yanks, a couple Andy fishing trips, really tiny Andy fishing trips.
Yeah, but we got out there for what, 4 or 5 hours?
We got out there 4 or 5 hours. So this time, Vance, instead of sitting in front of the Ranger parked in a pole barn...
Mm-hmm.
He got to sit, stand. You didn't lay down this time.
I don't think I did, no.
No, you didn't.
Mm-mm.
Maybe did.
I was well rested.
Maybe to miss a branch or a log.
Actually, I think I did. I think I did actually lay down for that.
I saw a picture of Vance with his foot propped up on a log, but yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It wasn't a log. It was an entire tree.
It was. Literally an entire
tree.
If you counted the rings on it, it was probably 100 some years old.
It was a giant tree. That and he didn't even know I took it. It wasn't like, hey, Vance, pose. I just turned around. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great.
I can get into bank fishing.
It's not bank fishing.
Well, whatever. Well, I keep saying, I was corrected many a times on this trip. Vance, it's not bank fishing. It's not this. It's not that. Well,
I guess to me that
we didn't even need a boat.
In order to be bank fishing, you can't be in a boat.
If you twisted the boat, it would have got stuck on both sides of the shore.
Both sides of the bank. There you go.
Yeah. There you go. It points. It was Vance, bank fishing.
Vance is also. I mean, you can also catch Vance with some photos. I got a nice one down at Cave around of
this,
Vance.
You should not bring this up.
But it was so cold. I got a picture of Vance throwing some baits. We were trying to get into the bank. We were up in the trees in Cave Run when it was 30 feet high. And I got a good one of Vance. He has his life jacket on. He looks really cool in this picture.
Looked like it was amateur hour. I looked.
Oh, I thought you were.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
What was that one I saw you in that Baltimore Ravens snuggie?
No. Never. But I could have used something. I would have donned that if I had it, because it was freezing.
He kept the life jacket on. It was so cold. It was keeping him warm. But I said, hey, Vance, and he turned around, and he just sort of gave me this smile, and I snapped the picture, and he's like, you can't do anything with that picture. I said, oh, yeah. We're going to use that picture someday.
Yeah.
Generally, when I...
Blackmail.
When I, when I catch friends in an awkward position, and I'll get their attention. About the time you hit, you know, take the picture button, the middle finger's already up.
Yeah,
you weren't quick enough.
Both of those times, I kind of felt like there were eyes on me. I said, "Well, this would be a picture to sight for sore eyes," and I was too late.
Yeah,
we're gonna save that. We'll post that here in a couple, maybe. It might even have to wait a couple of years, Vance.
Yeah.
Cool. Or how about I just make it like,
man.
Make it like the cover art of a podcast, because I have that option. I just never done it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, embarrass me.
Embarrass you.
That's good.
Here, come fish with Vance.
Yeah, come fish with me. Safety first. Always wear your
what was it? One of them bright orange PFD. Ones?
It was Todd's daughter's. It was pink. It had a pony on it.
A pony?
No, it was a camo one, but I looked ridiculous.
I was hoping it was like one of them orange ones that you see, like, you know, that saved a couple people from the Titanic.
You know, it was
the last thing we had in the boat to keep warm.
Yeah, the kicker was we were fishing the PMTT, and I was dressed like a doofus, you know.
Well, it's Kentucky. It's warm.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. All right, so we started out, and... The water was not as nice as I was hoping, but it was our day to fish. I'm going to preference that. It was not ideal, but it wasn't awful. It was our time to go fishing. We hit up a couple normal spots, and this area that we're fishing is like an outflow of a lake, and it's in the form of a river or a stream or a creek, whatever you want to call it. And, historically, this has been my nice little spot, just because I never would travel to Chautauqua. This was my spot, and I've developed quite a good milk run. And we hit the first spot, and, you know, with it being a little bit muddy, water was up a little bit, we didn't see anything. We motor on down, and we get to the spot that I tell Vance he can't tell anyone where we're going.
Mm.
But very probably everyone business. Knows where I'm going, but I like to think it's mine. And we start up it and get to my first spot. I don't see nothing. Keep going. Next spot, don't see nothing. I'm going through all these, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, I have to show Vance a muskie. That's what I have to do, because I've been talking about this ever since he moved up here. I have to show him one fish. That's the only thing I need to do is just have one show up. Anyways, we get through, and I'm starting to lose hope, like second, third, fourth spot. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then I'm like, oh, last year, I didn't start seeing fish up until this spot. So then I get to that spot and nothing. Keep going, nothing. We go through the spot, you know, like the best spots, and we're running out of water.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going as far as we can go.
Vance
gets a phone call. The phone call was I'm not going to talk about the nature of the phone call, but it was a phone call of news that he didn't want to hear. A little frustrating for him. And I'm at this point, I didn't tell him this. I'm like, well, geez, I haven't seen a fish past this point ever. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm really
glad. You act like this is easy. The spot to spot, we're ducking, diving about five spots prior to what he's talking about. I'm like, that looks impassable.
And I slither through it.
And we, like, are on logs, pulling through trees, ducking. There's sticks all in the boat. Stuff's crashing off your back. Branches are breaking on your back. There's still some in this boat right now that I see. It was crazy.
Well, okay. This is what I want to... This is something...
And Vance, you alluded to this earlier. Like, some of these spots, you're wondering, okay, how are we going to turn this boat around?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
get back out of the spot because there's not enough room.
Exactly. I mean,
It was at one point I had to make a correction, and, you know, my motor's down, and I hit it, and the prop goes.
Yeah.
Boat rocks and stuff, and Vance goes, "Oh my gosh, oh, you're right up there." I'm like, "Hit a tree."
Yeah.
Like business as usual.
And that's fine.
Just keep going. That's all you got to do.
It sounded like a gunshot. It sounded like the trolling motor was going to
rip
right off the boat.
I got it bolted down good.
Damn thing was fine.
It was fine.
I mean, that happened a couple times. These places are crazy. You're in a
gauntlet,
a glorified stream, basically, with a 17-foot boat with a 115 on the back of it.
And I'm dragging us up, over, under, in and out.
You have a hacksaw, a handsaw, just in case we needed firewood.
Well, see, I knew that you had to wear the life vest to stay warm. I was concerned this time I could start a fire in my boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but not that. if we were to sink, there'd be no threat of drowning.
Mm-mm.
Not one bit.
No.
Because you could literally take a half-hearted leap off the side of the gunwale, and you're going to land in
on shore or a giant tree. You probably wouldn't even get wet.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
No.
You'd be all right.
Wait for some high water and the boat will come out eventually. It'll drift down to a nice spot where
Just wait for an eighth of an inch of rain.
Yeah.
And we'd be taken out on a tidal wave.
Yeah.
That's the first time I went with Andy. He's like, "Do you carry this in your boat?" And he brought all these saws and hacksaws, paint saws. And I'm like,
where are we going?
And he's like, "Well, we want to stay in the shade, right?" And I was like, "Shade? What are you talking about? Yeah, there's no shade. Andy hates the sun."
He's
like, "You need to get out here and fish." I'm in the shade. Oh,
geez. I'd fish in a cave.
Oh. That was crazy.
So here I am. I'm desperate. I'm going a little bit further past, about as far as I can go. Vance is just kind of sitting back there, back of the boat, just holding the rod like straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And the bait's just sitting there, and he's just like nothing. I'm working my stinger. Work, work, work. Literally out from underneath the boat because there's no water on each side.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like a 31?
Yeah.
Just come.
Low 30s.
Just come. Flying out. Yeah. Now, water temperature's 48. Flying out, and it just like, I don't know if it was trying to scare the bait. It never touched it. Swooped around, went back down under, and I look back at Vance. I'm like, before I yelled at him, I'm like, "Hey, there's one."
Yeah.
And Vance like, "Where?" All half-hearted, not really. Like, "Vance, it's right here. What are you doing?" I keep working I cast it back out, and I'm working it next to the boat, and it comes out again. And this time, Vance saw it. And it just kind of like did the same thing. Came out, charged the bait, turned around, went back down.
Yeah.
And I said, "Vance, are you going to try to catch that fish or stand there?" He literally did not move. If I didn't know any better, that would have been his first muskie he's ever seen because he froze up.
I did not freeze up. I just said, "Oh yeah, there it is," and I watched it swim on.
His eyes were huge. Like
I haven't seen one in a while.
I probably squished it. Its back was on the bottom of my boat, and I was squeezing it. To the bottom.
And you just pushed it out.
Came out because it had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
I not even seen the bait.
Yeah.
But I froze up. That was your fish anyway. You should have caught the damn thing. It wasn't my fault.
No, it's not your fault, but you did nothing. This is a team sport.
It's your fish. Yeah, that could have been, that's a story, story you hear. People be figurating on the other side, and the guy catches a fish. I could have done that. I didn't even put a bait in the water until the damn thing
swam. No, I will. I will say this much: there was not a lot of water for you to put that bait in.
That's true. That's very true.
Anyway, so then spin the boat around. Huge relief. We saw a muskie.
Yeah.
And.
And an active one too.
It was pretty active for being 48 degrees because that rain actually was a snow last weekend.
Yeah.
Some parts, we saw 4 inches of snow around where I live. We probably got a half inch to 1 inch, like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and it was really, really cold on Monday, and it took my water temperatures beyond what I wanted really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, turn the boat around, we get going down, and we're fishing the spots. Now, what I've realized in the past is that even though I've literally drug my boat, disturbing everything on the way up through, when I turn around and come back down, it's like either there's new fish there or the fish that are there are just changed. I don't know if they just like the way
it's probably because
going downstream versus up.
You ruined
or
their
up
own.
Versus down. I don't know if it's a boat direction change.
I think you flushed them.
Yeah. There's nowhere for them to go. You run right over them.
That's right.
And they come out.
I already flushed them out. Now they're active because they had to leave because you were going to grind them up in your prop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were times, you know, and I'm sure some people, this doesn't necessarily have to be where I'm at. I've been on the motor. Now, I know where a lot of the logs are. I don't know where all the logs are. That I've turned on the trolling motor. And, you know, the motor could be running. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm like, there's not a log here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Todd, you ever hit a fish with your prop?
Yeah, I've had, well, yeah. I mean, I've had fish come out from under there and heard it thumping, and I think they definitely ran into the prop, mm-hmm. fall on a bait or something.
Yeah. So, anyways, I didn't hit any fish with the prop this time. I hit a lot of trees.
Oh, yeah.
I hit the mud a lot.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, in this area, I've done stuff, and I told Vance about it. I call them musky drives. When I hit it right, there's some shallow flats that I have to go, and it's like there's no stopping to fish. I'm in, you know, 20 feet wide, a foot and a half deep, but I can see the whole bottom.
Yeah.
And there's times I've pushed two or three muskies right up. I'm just like bringing up the rear on this big musky drive.
Yeah.
And anyways, we're coming back down. And gosh, we didn't really see anything until we got to what I call the jungle. And Vance goes, oh, I got one, a pike. I'm like, what? And he was just back out of the back of the boat jigging structure. Now, when we say jigging structure, don't think of like John Bondi or the Red October guys. We're talking.
We had it on the side imaging. We had it on the down imaging.
Oh my gosh, we were in like 80 feet of water. Yeah, we could actually watch the arc.
I was accurate with my jigs, and I was watching that graph, and I just saw the fish like a crappie come up and just grab the whole thing.
Probably the cone on our graph, when the sonar shoots down, was probably a 6-inch circle on the bottom.
Yeah.
We were in less than 3 foot of water.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I don't know where he got this pike from, but
I have no idea either. I mean, because I saw the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And it just materialized.
And the thing just came out of nowhere, out of a log.
Literally after I ran it over.
Yeah.
With the motor running.
Mm-hmm. Pretty fish. It was tiny.
Yeah. We get through this little section I call the jungle, and it's kind of like last year was like one of my better spots, and it's kind of like ended where the fish were at last year, at least for when I fished it. We're working, and I had another musky follow. It was a lot slower, probably about the same size. It followed the stinger in, and I cast it back to it, and it was over this little baby log. And I don't know what the fish is, but I'm going to put it at 51% pike, 49% muskie. That's how much I know. It was one of those two. And that thing came charging over that log, mouth open, and it just... Nothing. And that was it. That was the only time I saw that fish. So this whole time I'm thinking in my head, I never said this to Vance. I'm like, okay, well, Vance has a pike. I've had the same muskie swing at me twice. Another musky follow and a 51% chance of a pike coming at me. How are we going to materialize this? Is Vance winning?
You always do that. You have these little competitions in your boat.
Well, I have to because I don't get to catch fish like you guys.
That's right. So,
I'm just thinking, I'm like, well, okay.
That's another reason I didn't put my pole in the water.
Well, yeah, because you were giving me like a handicap or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But... needless to say, I pulled it out at our last spot. I was casting up what I call Pike Alley. That name's been around I named that a long, long time ago. Things have changed. It's no longer Pike Alley by the name. It's still named that. But I did catch a little pike there, really shallow. It would have been, this summer, it would have been essentially goldenrod or something, some weed on the bank, some grass. It was flooded up and it hit the stinger. It was probably 18, 20 inches and it took an 8-inch glide bait.
Mm-hmm.
And so then tied it up to a pike apiece.
Pike apiece. It was tied up.
It was tied up.
Pike apiece, the Pike brothers. But we saw muskies. I mean, it's still cool to even think that they're in that tiny of water, all that crap around.
You can take a boat over the top of them, literally over the top, giving them a haircut with the prop, and they're still around.
Yeah.
So that's one of them things that I like when people say, does the boat scare the fish? And I'm like, well, I know a spot that they hide under the boat while I'm fishing because there's no other option.
Yeah.
We did have something else fun. We trolled this little section, and I took a corner to kind of spin around so we could cast, and I got the my rod went into the main motor's prop and peeled off a ton of line really quick.
Oh yeah, that happened. Remember?
That did happen.
Yeah.
Second time ever I've got a trolling line in the prop.
Yeah.
But it was at the end. I still did it, and we finagled it out without having to get out, take the prop off or nothing. We just kept working at it for a couple minutes. And
yeah, it gets hairy in those, you know, those tight situations like that. And, you know, when the stream's as wide as the boat. I mean,
yeah.
That's what was really neat about it, was seeing, going from, you know, big water, big weed bed, stuff like that, you know, open water flats, trolling, and then I'm in a...
Literally, you're just pitching a bait,
yeah,
hitting exactly where you need to hit.
Yeah,
that's all you're doing.
There's big fish in there too. I mean,
they come and go.
They come and go, and that's what's crazy. The other thing that was crazy to me was, you know, those fish can travel.
Oh, like what I told you,
around and up and around these corners, and like almost like it's like a switchback stream, you know, and. Depending on what is falling there or what's laying there, I mean, sometimes you can't get to them.
Yep.
You know, because there's structure in the water and whatnot like that. But
yeah. Because of this outflow of this lake is part of the Mississippi watershed, it's very unlikely, but well, that fish could have, a fish could be from Minnesota.
I mean, it could travel. Hypothetically, it could.
It could travel.
It could travel. But that, I mean, that's what's crazy. They can, you know. We see the fish go here. Oh, well, where did it go? Up over that tree there.
Mm-hmm.
It's laying across the stream. Well,
yep.
We're shit out of luck.
Yep.
You know, but it was a good experience. Definitely would do it again.
It's different. And it's seasonal. That's the other thing. It's very seasonal.
Yeah.
And it's very weather dependent.
I mean,
those fish could definitely get there from Chautauqua.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They'd have to take a really long route.
Yeah, it would have to go down a ways and then back up. But, you know, when you're up here, you cross the headwaters of French Creek.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right here.
Like three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And at one time that you look, when you cross French Creek, there's a big swamp there. And I don't see much draining into it. I mean, that's probably...
That's one of the headwaters.
One of the headwaters of it, yeah.
Absolutely.
You made the comment the one time you were coming up after that big rainstorm saying, I think I could have dropped the Ranger off. Right off of Route 86, and I could have probably made it back home.
I very well could have. I mean, that place blows out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Them smaller tributaries like that. Yeah. Actually, it's not a tributary. That's the main. But it's not very big up there.
Yeah, these little pieces. I mean, this is where you caught your big fish, too. I mean, in these little waters.
Little baby waters.
PA muskie came out of there 51 inches.
Yep.
Crazy. It's insane.
I mean, but, you know, that fish could have been.
And as big as the logs that were going over. That thing came out of those, that, you know. That's just wild.
Yeah, and at the very end, I had to go around this like big cluster of trees, but I couldn't show Vance how bad these like sunken trees that have been stuck in this river for so long. I said, I'm going all off memory. I have to do some jigging and jiving.
Yeah.
And I miscalculated it, and we're not going that fast, 3-4 miles an hour. The boat stops, and you can hear the main motor, clunk, 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 clunk.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we just kind of keep going. And like, I hit a tree, and then this big chunk of log comes floating up.
Yeah.
I busted it off with the motor.
It's crazy. You made it passable for another fisherman.
That's right. You add another 3 foot of water on that, I could just go on plane.
Yeah. It was crazy, too. I mean, you're doing 40 miles an hour or so.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Vance had never been on that wild slalom ride that I...
Yeah, it was insane.
I mean, there were some really nice... You know, like oxbow type things.
It felt like, you know, we were on like a fan boat.
You know,
going over alligators or something. You'd see down in like Florida. It was like a swamp thing.
Andy took me on that same ride, and I was the whole time, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, I was, honest to God, I was nervous. I was like, man, what if like a, if a tree came up and just jacked the prop right now, I'd go flying out of this boat. It was just nuts.
Yeah, but it's one of them, it doesn't, I mean, it changes, yes. But that's another reason why we trolled was because I'm like, well, I got to see where what's what.
And, yeah.
You know, but it was just like, you just got to know which side to drift to and this and that and, you know, where you can push it and can't push it. And
yeah.
Yeah, but, you're still crazy.
Still crazy for that, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, well, Todd, you were saying that, like, when you're on Chautauqua, there's, like, one turn you have to make to run the whole lake.
Yeah. Yeah, if it turned out, we'd have to make one turn, and then we can go again.
Yeah. It's scary. Yeah. I get nervous on that turn.
Yeah.
And then we're doing, you know, low 40s through a tiny creek. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, how do you keep your steering linkage all free if that's all you do is guys drive straight?
Well, you have to, there's, you know, depending on what's going on. You're going around pontoons, you know, stuff like that.
Movable hazards.
People on water skis, all this other stuff. So, I mean,
I don't have to deal with that
there, much. If you check, like, you know, my trail on the GPS, I mean, you'll see some zigs and zags in there.
You have to zoom in really close, though.
You do. But they're in there.
They're in there. Okay. They're in there. Yeah, you look at my GPS, it looks like a pulse.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, you could see the whole, every wave right there.
Yep.
It was crazy.
But, anyway, since then, I hit the bank two times.
The bank.
I was on foot.
He was on foot.
I was on foot. There's a difference.
There is. I know. I just keep calling it that. Like I said, we were.
Because
you've
never gone bank yanking.
I've been bank yanking. I grew up. I just never did it for muskies. The first muskie I caught was on a bank and a worm and a bobber. You know, but we were fishing for bass and whatnot. And, you know, I wasn't wearing like muck boots and stuff like that. But yeah, I was, like I said, I was corrected a lot.
Well, because you have to say it correctly.
I know.
Anyways. Not a whole lot bank yanking. Probably between my two trips, I have a half hour in there. A really good productive spot I go to often this time of year. Didn't see a living fish. But that also coincided with a day that Todd's going to talk about, so I don't feel so bad. And then I also went today real quick. I had a couple baits to test on my way back from pulling cards from the trail cameras. Everything was kind of up and muddy, so... Not a whole lot going on there, bank yanking wise, but we'll see. I might try to get out.
Is the water really low in general?
It's lower than, I'd say it's on the low side of average right now for this time of year. Okay. But it's not there to where it's, right now it's, we get a quarter inch of rain, it's going to be doing a lot.
And I mean, you're talking about 4-inch waves.
Oh yeah, it was blowing that day.
Yeah.
It was howling when we went fishing.
I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah, I was fishing that day, too, and believe me, it was howling.
I mean, it was so bad that there were times that I could, like, not touch any motor.
And you were moving.
Well, depending on which side of the bend you're on, that I would actually be stopped between the water current pushing and the wind blowing.
Yeah.
I might have even gone upstream a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee.
4 inches.
Those 4-inch waves were just slamming the Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Same day I was trying to cast, and we were blowing at 2.3 miles an hour.
Yeah, probably.
That's crazy.
You were drifting at 2.3.
That's like 3 footers.
That's like 100 yards in front of Niagara Falls. That's that kind of drift.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there's the non-musky fishing report.
Yeah. That's
and awesome. We can get to the musky fishing report now.
Yeah, we saw one.
I saw two.
And maybe.
And maybe. A 49% maybe.
Maybe. There you go.
Yeah.
Take it away, Todd. Give the listeners something.
Well, yeah, wake these guys up.
Something interesting.
They just want to hear about lengths and quantities compared to...
We had some... Well, first I'll say... Today was it. I mean, today was my last day on the books for a charter. I fished. I've been about as full as I could handle from June till now, and I don't have anybody scheduled.
You're retired.
I'm retired till next June. No, I got to make a whole bunch of baits, but yeah, I got some. I definitely have stuff to do, but as of today, I mean, today I looked at it as this is it. You know, I have no more. I have no more trips planned. But the last few days have been extremely interesting. We had we had good days, and we had the worst of the worst. Had high winds. We had some days where it was just, I mean, you just can only do what you can do. But had a day, I did have a day, got to talk about the bad first. Had a day with a fellow named Brian, great kid. He's from the area, he moved to Florida, he came back. His birthday, we did a trip, and we had the absolute, this is in the middle of some really good fishing. Had the absolute worst day. Fished with the kid, he was doing good. He was throwing the jerk baits good, and we went the entire day. We never saw a fish. I can't even tell you the last time that happened here in this lake. I saw a fish porpoise. I saw a muskie come up to the surface and come up right by us, and I saw its back. I saw its fins and everything, and that's really the only fish I saw that whole day. Wow. And that was coming, that was settled in between 2 7-fish days in the boat.
Yeah. My fishing trip, bank yanking, fell on that day, so it wasn't my fault I didn't see a fish.
You didn't see a fish. Yeah. Did not see a fish. I feel so bad for the kid. I mean, he's been out with numerous guides, and I just can't believe it. He comes sometimes, and this isn't the first time this happened. He's came with me twice now.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, last time was the same way. He pulled into a spot last time. Uh-huh. This was probably 5 years ago when he went with me in. Pulled in, first thing, I drove down the lake. I pulled in. I said, this is how I want you to work the bait. I threw it out, brought it in, and a fish was following. And he's like, oh, my gosh, you know right where they're at. I said, well, no, that's not a good thing. It just followed up when I was giving the demonstration of what to do. Ended up hooking one. He ended up hooking one casting, lost the fish, just had it on momentarily. Then we went trolling, had another hit, lost the fish. And, I mean, he was bound and determined. He threw the whole time, but we got, never saw a fish in that day. Wow. First day all season. First day of the season, 87 days in the water. And,
he pulled out the worst day. I thought I was going to have I was going to hold the crown. That day I was with you.
Flew in. Flew back in for his birthday trip from Florida.
Oh, gosh.
He lives here, but he flew in, and the main part, he was going on his birthday.
Shit.
And I started casting with him halfway through the day, and I'm like, I'm going to get a fish hooked up. And, yeah, man, it just didn't happen. I guess those days come. They don't come here often where we fish, but we did not see a fish. We had strong east winds. That's bad conditions on this lake, but usually I can still pull some fish out. But not this day. It just wasn't going to be. So, like I said, that was the bad. Now we go to... good. The day before that, like I said, we got seven.
Seven.
Right now, I can't even remember who I was with that day. But, oh, yeah, that was the next day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guys got a bunch the one day. We had like 13 fish on. All on rafters. They were, you know, the one guy's a spinnerbait guy, and that's all he throws. And, yeah, we got it going with some jerkbaits. I think he's converted now, because I saw him out there the next day, and he was not throwing any spinner. We'll put it that way.
Oh, that's hysterical. They hooked up 13 times and caught 7 fish.
Yeah, they hooked up 13 times, yeah. And they were not jerkbait guys. They said they have them, they don't use them, they don't know what to do. And, you know, find out by the end of the day, this was the greatest day they ever had.
Yeah.
And I saw them out there the next day. They were fishing right along with me. They said, I knew they were going to be out there, and they were just, they said, you know, we're not going to crotch or anything. We'll keep, you know, and they didn't by any means. I mean, but I didn't see any spinners flying, we'll put it that way. Yeah. And yesterday, we hit it pretty hard yesterday. I hit fish with a kid that's a, he's a guide. We'll probably get him on here sometime. It would be a neat thing to talk about. He guides in Alaska for pike. The numbers of pike that they're catching on, he's a guide up there. I mean, just totally insane. Totally insane. The size of them, totally insane. It's a neat, I had a really good time fishing with him because he doesn't talk about it, but he's still trying to get these muskies. And,
he's a local kid.
Local kid, yep.
Just a little bit south from my area, so.
Yep. I remember when he caught his first fish. He caught his first fish.
In a tournament.
In a tournament at Miami Tuning Lake, his first muskie. Wasn't all that long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, but he just got into it, and he went and took this guide trip. And the numbers of pike that they're catching up there are incredible. The size of them is also incredible, you know. They caught like 8 over 50 inches this year.
That's crazy for a pike. That's incredible. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
You're talking about days of 40 fish over 40 inches.
Days.
Yeah.
Days.
Day.
Days.
In a day.
In day.
How do you think that you could handle?
I could.
I mean, that might take me if getting that many fish plus the other ones in between there, of these 40 fish over 40 inches, getting them out of the. You know, getting them back in the water and swimming. That's insane.
I don't think they boat a lot of them.
Yeah, I think they do a lot of water releases.
Isn't it like a single hook? I mean, we'd almost need Wade to talk about it, but I thought it was like a single barbless hook.
Yeah. Yep. Mostly on a fly or a little spoon. But, I mean, it was neat to talk to him. He's a young kid. He just got into all this. But, you know, the muskie is still in the back of his mind. And he was pumped up. I mean, we had a little spell at the end of the day where we got 4 fish right at the end. I was fishing with him. I missed a fish. Then I caught a fish. Then I caught another fish. Then he caught a fish. And when he hooked the last one, he's like, another one. I mean, these 4 fish came in, you know, probably a half hour.
That's awesome.
And his last fish was a nice fish, mid-40-inch fish, nice fat fish. And he's never caught that many muskies that size. He doesn't really get to catch a lot of the pike either. Because he's guiding, he's just unhooking him.
Yeah.
But he's a great fisherman. He knows what to do. He converted on some. I heard him a couple times say there's fish, and I saw him doing some juking and jiving with the raptor at the boat, and he converted on him.
Love it.
He did a really good job. Yeah, yeah. He was happy to get the nice one at the end. So was I. See him get a nice mid-40 fish.
And but, what bait was it on?
It was on, they were all in the raptor, everything.
No, but which one specifically?
Oh, so his fish, yeah, I said, you know, I had him throwing the one, he was throwing that walleye of mine that's just like,
that's the
totally beat. He caught some fish on it, and I said, you know, you can use any of these other ones you want to use, and, you know, I had him throw the orange Julius for a while, which we don't even make that anymore. I should have said that, but
actually, it's over. Yeah. I can see a couple hanging.
Yes.
It's still got a pulse.
He threw that for a little bit. Then he was jumping in there, and I saw him grab Mitch. I was like, "Oh, Mitch!" I didn't forget about Mitch, but I just didn't grab him that day. And he pulled Mitch out right at the end there, and that's when he caught. When I said he caught those last 2 fish, he caught those fish about 6 minutes apart. And that's the first time Mitch hit the water that day. That's small one.
That comes
small. Then he got the big one on Mitch. Yeah.
It comes with throwing Mitch. He's got magic to him.
Yeah, you got to let him rest every once in a while.
Now,
Now
I'm hitting you cold on this. Do you have a Mitch count?
Yeah, I was trying to come up with that today. I think we're up into the 24, 25 range.
24, 25, and I made that.
Mitch hit it hard there early. He was at 18 real quick, but I have not been using Mitch as
6 weeks. He's doing 4 fish a week. average.
Yeah.
And
I didn't get Mitch on a lot. I mean, I had some guys throwing Mitch. I mean, I give Mitch to some guys, and I know it's just not going to happen too much. But like I said last time, Mitch had one hooked in the middle of the back the other day. And, had Mitch out today. Mitch had a bite today, but we didn't convert. The guy missed that one. So
now, I've been doing some thinking. Should we throw Mitch on eBay?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the price tag. No, you can't sell that bait.
Why not?
Because it's producing. That's too. It's like the Raptor dog bone equivalent almost. It's getting there. It's got a special story to it.
Yeah.
They all got special stories.
That's true.
But
Mitch is not for sale.
Mitch is not for sale. All right, so then...
Mitch is going to go to Canada here.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Which we're recording this Sunday night. Normally we do Tuesday night. We're recording this Sunday night.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He'll bring us good luck. You know, superstition thing. Got to be present.
I'll tell you, yeah, and you know, getting back to our trip today, I was fishing with Wade. His name is Wade Alexander. It was insane south winds. I wouldn't have been able to do what I did with him, but I know he spends like 5 months straight on a boat. He was jumping around a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
It was windy. We were fighting the elements. 95 trips out of 100, I wouldn't be able to do what we did there. If he wanted me to fish, I can do it.
What about 19 out of 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew.
That's about it.
Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah. We just couldn't. It was rough. I tucked in a couple of times, and I was happy. I mean, happy with the outcome. And then that leads up to today. I had a father-son team out today, and you know, I talked to some guys. The trolling bite has just been off. There's a bunch of guys got skunked yesterday, and I kept it the same program. Today, the wind totally switched, 180 degrees, coming completely out of the opposite way. It was south before. It was like north, northwest today. So it was just as rough. It took us. We didn't start fishing until about 8:40.
Because you were going into the wind on the run.
Into the wind, and when I came around the big point at Long Point,
the only turn,
dangerous.
Yeah, it took me about 25 minutes to run the lake. I couldn't. Yeah, it was bad.
Man.
It was bad. We tucked in. Did we could fished a little. The guys had a good day. These guys have been at it for a couple of years. Actually, Andy, I was going to tell you the one guy that, remember we did that show up in Warren, Pennsylvania years ago?
Oh, yeah, the Warren Outdoor Show. We did it 2 years in a row.
We did 2 years, and the 1 year I did that seminar.
That was the second year.
Yeah, and there was about a dozen people in there. Well, that's where we ran into this guy.
Oh, no kidding.
He came over and bought a swim bait off of us.
That was 3 years ago.
It was only 3 years ago, okay.
Because we didn't go that 1 year because we were going to Columbus. It overlapped. It was the year prior to that.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, Chicago. We were doing the Chicago show.
Chicago, yeah. So it was he and his son. The son bought the trip for the dad for like a Father's Day gift, and we went out and,
Talk about a last-minute booking.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah, he booked a long time. He booked early this season, but it came from a trip from like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Or, you know, the show from 2 years ago. Yeah. But, they had a good day. They had some great opportunities. Had a great boatside strike. Like, he was talking to me, and he was doing his figure eight, and I was looking to the depth finder because I was on the trolling motor the whole time running my little keypad or whatever the hell you call it. And as I'm looking at the Death Fighter out of the corner of my eye, I see the fish come up and just T-bone the lure. And I'm, you know, I catch it out of the corner of my eye, and he's talking to me, and he's doing his figure eight jerking, and I see the rod start to bend, and, you know, we pulled up on it, but the you know, the fish go away.
Damn.
But they had some good, they had some good strikes. They lost some fish. They caught some fish. Ended the season, maybe. I don't know. You know, if guys want to still go, I'll guarantee you one thing. We can still get some action, but I'm wrapping it up unless I get some calls. I get this question all the time, like, what do you do throughout the season to, like, change? You know, what changes do you make? You fish different baits early, small baits, big baits, blah, blah, blah. So, long story short, first fish of the season comes opening day here at Chautauqua. You guys were out on the water that day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep, you guys were out because I sent you the pic.
On Vance's old boat.
Very
old. Vance's old. Yep. Young lady with her husband catches a fish. Soft-tailed, three-mile perch.
Raptor.
45. Yeah, soft-tailed, three-mile perch, raptor. She gets a 45-incher. Great. It was great. I don't know if we talked about it, but, you know,
within minutes of opening day, wasn't it? First hour?
Yeah, the first hour is the first spot we went. She had a follow. I taught her how to use the bait caster. I taught her how to use the bait, and you know, she had I don't know if it was her first follow or not. We had a couple follows early. There was a lot of following fish in that early season, but she had a follow and the fish turned, and we were standing there looking at it. Her husband and I. It was probably like a 32-incher, and it took off, and she gave me oh my gosh, what should I do? I said, you know, flip back out there. That fish might hit. She pitches the bait back out, takes two jerks. Now at this point, her husband and myself are staring at the bait. And it's crystal clear water. She jerk. This huge head comes up, white mouth opens, turns around, hits the bait head on, and she's like, I got one. And I was like, oh, yes, you do. It was not the 32-incher. It ended up being a 45-inch fish, 45, 45 and a half, something like that. Beautiful fish. Mm. Mm-mm. That's what you caught it on. So, I don't even know how this all came around, but, I guess I do. We went into some shallower water. I was like, you know, let's get right up in these weeds and fish a little bit instead of staying out on the edge. You know, let's get in there. So, I gave the soft-tail rafters don't go as deep as the regular ones. I usually use the regular ones. It's nice to throw those soft tails out there because, you know, guys, people can really see that tail, and but they just don't get as deep. So we went in a little bit tighter and had the guy throwing the soft tail, and I don't know, I jumped in the box, and it all came about after the fact. I saw the bait there, and I grabbed it, and I said, here, you know, we're going to go a little shallower now. We're going to throw this bait, and long story short, end of the season, the last fish we caught in the boat with the clients was on the same bait that we caught the first fish of the season.
Was it the same fish?
It was not the same fish unless it traveled 17, no, not 17. It probably would have had to travel about 14 miles.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
There's a chance.
There's a chance. It was the opposite end of the lake. It was a nice, yeah.
It was. I saw the picture. It was a really thick fish.
Oh, God. It was fat.
It was a fat fish. We didn't get the greatest. I didn't have the greatest photos. They took some other photos with their camera real quick, and I hurried up and jumped in and grabbed one with my phone. And, it's going back to last year. My boat was nice and clean. I've been sweeping it, and that fish dumped probably 3/4 of a pound of digested perch all over the bottom of my boat. And last year, right near the end of the season, is when I caught that really big one, and I had that stain in there all winter. Got to look at it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you kept that. You kept that stain in there for a while.
Yeah, it didn't rain. It was in there all season until we had a good rain. And my boat is trash. This fish trashed the boat. I mean, there was stuff coming out of both ends. But
that's why I don't catch these muskies. I want to keep my boats clean.
That's what it is. Yeah, and it is pristine outside of a couple of sticks.
Yeah,
but that's what it was. Same size, opening day. Same
started,
size.
Started and ended.
On the end of it.
Fish was about 46 inches.
Nice. Yeah. So it grew an inch through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a great, you know, it was a great way to end it, you know. I was actually, you know, sitting down, running the trolling motor, looking at the thing. It was so windy, I was just trying to keep us on the edge, and I was... he said, fish on, and,
Oh, it's a fatty.
It was a great way to...
assuming you don't get another trip...
Yeah.
You had the best year for numbers that you've ever had?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, we ended up with some good numbers. More per day last year, but, it was a lot more fun this year. Last year we were on an incredible, I mean, just an insane trolling bite. Vance was up here; he saw it. I mean, you just go trolling, you catch fish.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot more fun this year. I had tons of people catch these fish casting. I mean, at least 3/4 of my fish came casting this year, and all, I mean, 90% of those fish came on raptors.
Yeah.
It was just a lot more, you know, guys get a lot more out of it when they catch them.
Casting.
Than they do when they catch them trolling, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
I can rack numbers more when we're trolling, but I've had guys that have caught 45 fish with me, and maybe one of those fish was casting, and they talk about that fish more than the trolling fish. So there's definitely something to be said about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we get them trolling, I mean, the rod goes off, they reel them in, they're having fun, they enjoy it, I net them, they don't even know what they got till we put it in the net.
There's something about that strike, when you're holding that rod.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if they were holding the rod trolling, it'd probably be closer to like a casting fish feel.
Closer, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
But a lot of these casting fish, they see, you see the fish within seconds if you don't see the take.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a big difference, you know. A lot of these guys are happy when they just get the strike and they're like, well, that was our opportunity. Like the guys today were really cool about it. They missed the first 3 fish. And they're like, well, we should have 3 now. And they had them all hooked up. I mean, we saw the fish. They had another good one on that they didn't get. Dad got one right near the end. He got one that was about 40 inches. He had lost one earlier. The son got, yeah. It was a nice little possible end of the season.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's a great season, too. I mean, you're out there, you're trolling with clients, you got 6 rods on them. It's fun when the clickers start going off. And that's a blast. That's a thrill to hear. You know, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's why I take my line into the prop.
Yeah. It woke us up. But you're out there with one pole and clients that have never done it before, and you really get to teach them.
Yeah.
And walk them through the motions of, you know, how to cast and whatnot. I mean, it was a working year, and you're out there with one pole, and you got all those fish. I mean,
there's a feeling that you earned it.
Oh yeah, that's nothing like that. Getting your lure stopped cold and having the opportunity to set the hook. That's the best. That's pure joy to me.
Nice. I guess I'll bring this one around. Anyone that was on my that's likes the Facebook page, Fantasy Muskie Products, saw that our good friend Zach Baker.
Oh yeah.
He
Excellent weekend.
After the podcast, we talked a little bit. He wanted some baits. I shipped him up some Raptors. And him and his boat partner, I wish I could remember his name.
Nitro Muskie, that's all I know.
Okay, I have his name, but I'm on the phone with you, so I can't open it up right now. I'm afraid of losing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes by Nitro Muskie.
The New York chapter, Muskies Inc.
69, right?
I think it was chapter 69. They had their tournament this, I think Zach even talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, he did.
It was up there, him and his boat partner. They each got two fish apiece. Zach's big was a 48. His boat partner's was a 46. All on Raptors. They took first and second. And
the big fish board.
Yeah. Zach got the big fish, and there were seven fish turned in, and they got four of them. So
on Raptors.
On Raptors. So as far as I'm, as much as I'm aware, that's Fat AZ Muskie's first tournament win.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So.
He told me, the day I was fishing with Zach, he had some Raptors. He's like, I don't know if I didn't know what I was doing. I just wasn't using them right or whatever. But he obviously didn't use them. When we went fishing, he used them. And he told me, he said, I got a tournament in 2 weeks coming up, and I'm going to win that tournament on one of these things, and I know where I'm going to go, and I know where I'm going to win it.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
He pulled it off. That's some cool stuff.
The funny thing was this: I was actually on the phone with him. I didn't know it was the tournament was that day,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the phone with him talking to him. Oh yeah, we're out here fishing and this and that, and just so nonchalantly goes, hey. I'm going to have to hang up on you right now. I got to net this fish. And it was his buddy's 46.
Oh, my God.
just like...
Nonchalant. Oh, yeah.
Nonchalant. Hey, I got to go right now. There's a 46 thrashing at the side of the boat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So...
He sent me a text. It said, Raptors work. Period.
So right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm painting as many as I can because we're going to be moving a couple of these this show season. I guess I'm going to totally switch gears. I know we didn't discuss this before. We never got to it a couple weeks back with Todd. You want to talk a little bit about Mike Money?
Oh, geez, yeah. I'll tell you what. There's a guy over from Ohio. There was a guy over from Ohio. Great guy, and he got killed in a car wreck. Mm. I mean, he was a muskie fishing fanatic. I didn't know it, but in reading a lot of the posts and stuff, he was also a deer hunting fanatic and just an outdoors guy. But tell you what, if there was ever a guy that, when I was in some tournaments, if there was ever one person that I would say, oh boy, you got to bring your A game, Mike Money is in this game. That would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Got to know him over the years. Not real well, but they have a fund going on FundMe, I think it's called, or something.
GoFundMe. I don't know much about it. It's on Muskie Guy's site. They have something going on that, which is...
Yeah, Muskie Guy, the chapter in Ohio. I know it's been brought up a little bit on Muskie First. I believe, I haven't looked at that site in a long time, but, he was a great guy. He just got killed tragically in a car wreck, and, they're doing a lot. He was big on the Ohio fishery. After that show in Ohio that they do, that actually Tony and Greg do now, they have this big lure swap. And then a lot of people donate lures, and they have a bait fish fundraiser. And Mike headed that all up, and they have a GoFundMe thing going for him. And they're raising some money. Last I looked, it was up to like $3,800 or something. They're raising money.
Did he have a family? Do you know of?
Yes. Yeah. He had some. He had a daughter. It was like high school age, and it was a good guy. It's a. Just another loss. We lost another guy locally, Ralph Doran. He was a great guy, too. He had a heart attack. I knew Ralph pretty well. You know, once again, an acquaintance, maybe not a friend, but a lot of my friends were good friends with him. He passed away here recently, but always got to remember, man, just like we talked about with Crash, enjoy it while you can.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, some of this stuff's pretty tragic. Mike was about, I think Mike was 45 years old, just a little younger than me. Killed in a car wreck.
I mean, and both of those were like out of the blue. You didn't go to bed the night before thinking that was your last night.
Ralph was like a weightlifter. He was in shape. I mean, he was you would have never guessed it.
I saw some of those pictures that Mike Money caught. Those fish were just, man, he catch some really, really nice fish. They were huge. They're huge. I mean.
That dude could catch some fish, let me tell you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Big, fat fish are unbelievable.
Yeah. He was a good guy. He was a good guy for the sport. He was a good guy just for, you know, he was a good guy all around. And, you know, I don't know anybody that didn't like Mike. And, you know, the Ohio guys are taking it really hard, you know. So a lot of those guys didn't fish for a couple weeks, and now they're going back out. And, you know, they had a funeral over the one weekend, and he was a great guy.
Yeah.
Sad to see him go.
I only met him once, and that was at that lure swap. What was that, Saturday night of the Ohio show? And I remember looking at all the donation table, which was a really incredible spread. And I remember seeing on the lips, what's that?
They raised $3,000 or $4,000 at that lure swap, something crazy like that.
Yeah, do you remember me saying I should just offer them that much money? And you would have walked away, sold everything, and pocketed $1,000 to $2,000.
Yeah.
Literally, there was so much donations of high-end stuff.
That's nice to see.
Unbelievable stuff, Beth.
I mean, there wasn't like any J13 Rapalas there. These were all high-end, really nice things. But I remember seeing, what was there, probably a dozen of those Mike Money crankbaits.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen one before. And I remember, I'm like, but that Ohio crowd, it's kind of like a big family. They all kind of knew, and I'm like, Todd, what are these? And they had a dollar bill sign
on the lip. I've seen those,
And like, did he make this, kind of like start making them before everyone else, or he just kind of joined in?
No, he started making them. From what I understand, I hope nobody gets upset with what I say, but from what I understand, he started making them with the guys that started making tough shit.
From what you understand, no one can.
You don't know,
but that's what you've heard.
That's the way I understand it. He started making them at the same time, and he didn't do, you know, he didn't go into the lure. He never really sold them. I would love to have one just with that money sign on it. He spent a lot of time at our booth down there in the Ohio show. If you remember Andy,
was he with Goldberg?
Yeah, he was really he was really interesting. He liked the Project X theory. He was really into that kind of stuff. And he gave some. I mean, he was just a humble guy. Also, you know, that big fish we talk about all the time. I mean, it's old news now, but that one I caught at Chautauqua last year. On the jerkbait, and he walked up and he looked at that picture and he's like, that right there is like, that fish out of Chautauqua was like catching a world record.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a lot of time here in Chautauqua. Mm-hmm. And he said, that is like catching a world record fish. I was like, what do you mean? He said, dude, that fish out of Chautauqua, that's like catching a world record.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget him saying that. And had some run-ins at, you know, there were days I was up, I can remember a day at Lake St. Clair when, I mean, they probably caught 20-some fish. I was out with a friend of mine, Nick, and we caught like six, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get a 53. And when we came in, he's like, dude, no matter what you do, you always find a way to get those big ones. I'm like, what are you talking about, Mike? You caught all these fish. And he's like, yeah, but you caught a 53-incher today, you know. He was always good for a compliment. He was a great guy. Yeah. Still hard to believe he's gone.
GoFundMe.
I mean, it definitely worth looking into that GoFundMe, and, you know, small donations mean a lot. You know, they're trying to go up to $10,000, I think. And, like I said, I haven't looked in a while, but, you know, I sent some money in my name, and, or anybody's name, I just sent it in. But, it'd be nice to, he's going to be remembered a long time.
Absolutely.
Great, great fisherman. No doubt about it. Scary. Like I said, when I was in I was in a couple tournaments with him, and I was like, wow, it's going to take a lot to try to win this tournament because he's in this game. He's won him and his partner, Kevin Selders, they won the MTT event. They won the Ranger boat up here on Lake Chautauqua. I believe it was 2006.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That is awesome.
He didn't do the PMTT very much, but when he did it,
he was in it.
They did it for real. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I didn't know him all that much, so.
That's sweet. I'll remember those pictures of those big fatties for the rest of my life. So next week's podcast, we'll have Canadian stories. Hopefully me and Todd get something nice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who cares if we don't?
You're going to be fishing Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah. Nice relaxing time.
Nice relaxing. What's the weather?
No idea. So it's probably not going to be relaxing. It's October and it's really far north.
Did you bring your Raven Snuggie?
Mm-hmm. I'll have the Snuggie, I'll have the life jacket, propane heater, everything.
Nice. Todd, what are you expecting? Predictions out of your trip?
I have absolutely no idea.
Are you guys hoping for one fish, or are you hoping for...
We're going
I have no hope.
This is big fish water. I've never fished it. We're going with a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well plug them.
I had a Christmas present.
Merry Christmas.
Parents got me something really cool. They said, you know, we got you 2 days with this guy up on Nipissing. I was supposed to go up to Nipissing last year and never got to. Came home, bitched about it. And they surprised me with that for Christmas. One of the coolest gifts that I've ever gotten. And yeah, I'm going to take advantage of it. See what happens.
50 pounder?
Who knows? Who cares? I'm just going. I haven't fished in 6 weeks. I've resorted to going with guides now. Todd, you want one more trip?
5 days ago.
November?
You were in this boat.
Todd has one trip left in November. I'm going to book him because I can't fish anymore.
5 days ago, you were in this boat.
Five days ago, I went fishing near the banks on a boat. But on the return trip from Canada, I'm going to pick up my boat. It's going to be all ready to go.
Spick and span.
So we should have some fishing reports for November because I plan on getting out as much as I can. And
nice.
You know, because I've been...
Power steering is now power steering.
Mm-hmm.
Not...
Who knows? We'll talk about it. I'll figure it out and I'll get out there. I have a... I don't want to say unfinished business, but I have to get my fix in before I can't do it for another 5 months. I've been missing it, going crazy. I'll be bank fishing.
You'll be bank fishing.
Yeah.
I've had the Ranger out where there's snow on the ground.
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll have fishing reports.
We're going to have something.
We'll have a ton of stuff to talk about.
And if not, we're going to have guests. I know we're going to get Dale Wiley on soon.
Absolutely.
Dale Wiley, Pete Mana said yes. Mm-hmm. I got to track him down. We got Guy from East Ox East. We got a bunch of people. Gear Man Steve's going to want to get on. He's going to want to talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
But It'll be good. So the next podcast will be Canadian fishing stories.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be mostly Todd. I have zero fishing stories from Canada.
This will be my third time in Canada fishing. So I did it for salmon.
I've spent, if you add the weeks up, I've spent about 2 years of my life
in Canada. That's insane. That's so sick.
So we can do Canada stories. We can do them all winter if we want.
2 years of my life. I'm trying to think what I could have done for 2 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent well over 100 years. Or, yeah, 100 years.
Wow.
No, 100 weeks.
And back to that Pike Alaskan thing. You know, I was thinking about people go to Canada all the time. Oh, we've been to Canada. We went fishing for muskies. You know, the majority of them, they go up there, pike fishery and, you know, jigging for walleye and whatnot. I'm surprised that people don't go up to Alaska for those freaking pike. I mean, I know they do, but I hear Canada down here in this area. You definitely hear Canada before you hear Alaska.
Yeah, I would love to do it. The problem is about what, 4,000 miles.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, but it's a flight. It's a flight, you know. A lot of people can hook up their boats and go up, or, you know, fly-ins and all that other stuff that, you know, they used to do American plans and stuff and whatnot.
I don't have any pike stories, but we'll have to get Wade on here to talk about what he does sometime. It was neat talking to him.
I could almost have him sit in. He's that close. I could call him up and say, Wade, come on up.
Yeah, come on up and do this, because it's I mean, they're big fish.
Oh, gosh, they're
40, 50-inch pike. I mean, 40 inches to 50-inch pike, and they're catching them by the handfuls out there.
Yeah, I don't think the
50s by the handfuls, but they're coming. But I mean,
they're getting four-footers.
40-inch pike, I mean, that's insane. That's a big fish to be catching that many of.
They sort of weed through them. You know, they get into areas where there's a lot of smaller ones, and they move around. And I'll tell you, I mean, he said that they had days where they caught over 100 pike.
Yeah. That is a long working day.
Yeah.
That is
crazy. And all he does is sit there and unhook them. Yeah. they're fishing off of a, you know, they have a big, like a 70-foot boat that they park on the river or something, and then they have three or four guide boats out the back on docks. That's what they work out of, and, you know, that's the way they do their trips.
Amazing.
All single hook, a lot of fly fishing. I think it'd be a cool little, you know. Obviously, it's not muskies, but
it's a 50-inch fish with teeth. I'd love to take the LT with the Tranks up there and just...
So I couldn't go up there and fish with my Raptors if we could figure out a way to put a single hook on it.
Yeah, I just got 9 single hooks, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only have 9 hooks, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, that we'll wrap this one up and... You know all the spots. Fatty Z Muskie Products on Facebook, Todd Young on Facebook, or Muddy Creek Fishing Guides on Facebook, mcfishingguides.com, fattyzmuskie.com. We're still running those specials, 10% off any bait now till the end of October, and free shipping on track and rod holder purchase. Both must be purchased at the same time. Until next time, good luck fishing.